And we are also blessed by our speaker today, who is no stranger to this community, nor is she a stranger to the New Thought community, the broader New Thought community. Connie Chandler is a teacher, a mystic, and a writer. She's been a licensed practitioner of religious science since 1992. She sees private clients, teaches classes and workshops, and has been a guest speaker at religious science and unity churches in the Mid-Atlantic region. She has also spoken and offered workshops at the Big Sky Retreat, INTA Annual Meeting, and Eastern Conference. She serves on the board of the Big Sky Retreat, and just this past year became the founding coordinator of their year-long prayer circle. Connie is the director of the study group in Sterling, Virginia, the Science of Mind Study Group, and since 1999, she has published 48 daily guides in the Science of Mind magazine, which is really something special. That's amazing, Connie. She is, she is an author, and the full text of Connie's book, A Gift of Vision, appears on her website, www.conniechandler.com, if you'd like to go and check that out. She's had almost 45,000 visitors to that site. She has just recently been invited to participate in the online education program affiliated with the United Church of Religious Science, and she is going to be teaching the Foundations course online for the second time, this coming up in February. And I would just like to add that Connie has been such an important part of this community in so many ways. She continues to serve our center through participating in the Ministry of Prayer, which she has been doing for 10 years now. She has been doing this all in her life. And she was really instrumental in the initiation of our Evensong service that we hold on Sunday nights at 6:30, and we will be holding it tonight. So please do help me welcome Connie Chandler.
You should see what I see right now. So many glowing faces, so much beautiful light in this room. 2.5 years ago, I signed a covenant agreement with the United Church of Religious Science for the Sterling Study Group. And in signing that covenant agreement, I promised to teach Ernest Holmes. It was interesting. It wasn't expressed that I would teach Science of Mind in general. It said that I would teach Ernest Holmes. And that began a love affair that my husband has been okay with. Over the last 2.5 years, I have spent time every day with this beloved man that inspires my life so much and has for 17 years now, something like that. And I wanted to start out this talk on Core Concept 3 and 4, which the simple summary is 3 is law and 4 is prayer. And the whole core concept is in your program if you want to read the whole thing. In the words that are used in the foundational class manual. But in thinking about law and prayer, I had to say that I wanted to start from scratch and say, if I knew nothing about this, what could I learn? And I love the synchronicity because about 4 months ago, I scheduled a talk to give at the study group last weekend on law and prayer. And so when the center asked me to speak on law and prayer this week, it was rather remarkable synchronicity, and I was really grateful that all the research I was doing for a whole month was going to apply to this talk, too. Very different focus today, though. Very different than the talk we gave last week. And I want to bring you to Ernest Holmes right at the beginning here. So I invite you to close your eyes for a moment and imagine Uncle Ernie is speaking to us. Such a beautiful man, such an amazing spirit, such a powerful mystic. Gave us so much permission to be who we are. He talked about practicing together what he called stretching the mind. He said, maybe you have never done it or thought of it, but it doesn't matter. It's a process whereby we identify ourselves with a larger good. And you can speak in the first person pretty much. There is one life. That life is God. That life is my life. Now, I am that which thou art. Thou art that which I am. I am one with all the beauty of life. I am one with the strength of the wind and the wave, the glory of the sunset, the beauty of the sunrise. I am one with the song of the birds. I am one with the mother holding her child. I am one with the babe drinking from the fountain of life. I am that which thou art, eternal spirit, forever blessed. Thou art that which I am, perfect presence, divine, expanding within me. I am one with the vast throng in the busy street, one with the silence and solitude of nature, and the strength of the mountain and the peace of the desert. I am one with the rain and the snow and the clouds and the sky, the life in the ocean. I am one with the lover, one with the beloved. All are encompassed within me. For now what we are doing is identifying ourselves with the eternal, living presence within which all things are. We are one with that. That is what we are. Now may the light of the eternal God be with us. May that light go before us, surround us, penetrate us. May the love of God and of each other encompass and enfold us, and eternal peace abide with us forevermore. Ernest Holmes very clearly did not want to be called a saint. He was a remarkable man. He loved parties and entertainment. He spent time with movie stars and many people from Hollywood. He loved science and he cultivated scientists and he read mystics from all over the world and the teachings from everywhere and sundry. But he was a liver of life. He was one who threw his arms around everyone in love, and that was how he wanted to be. So while he would not want to be called a saint, I bet there would be a part of him that would be okay with being called a sage. And Coleman Barks, the poet who translated most of the popular Rumi books into English, he's a poet himself, he's from Tennessee, and what he said was, saints and sages take us into perception-changing regions, and those perception-changing regions allow our consciousness to evolve. So how does that all relate to core concepts 3 and 4, law and prayer? Well, the law is this concept that we have that the entire universe was created by the consciousness, by the thought and feeling of spirit. That thought and feeling through the powerful law went into form and created all that we see and is the same essence of all that we see. That essence that is flow, that movement of thought and feeling creates fields which attract other things. It's called law of attraction. It's called law of cause and effect. It's called mental equivalent. And for me, when I thought about how prayer works, particularly spiritual mind treatment, affirmative prayer as we teach it in religious science, it takes us into that perception-changing region where we are able to see that matter and energy are the same thing, that thought becomes form and dissolves again. Thought becomes form and dissolves back into thought. Things change. Holmes studied Phineas Quimby, who said, mind is matter in solution and matter is mind in form. And Emerson said, we see the universe as solid fact. God sees it as liquid law. As we pray and contemplate and read inspired individuals, we begin to touch this consciousness of liquid law, seeing how things can change, not by physically manipulating them, but by seeing them different, imagining them happening, allowing different thoughts to come into the world that have come before. And I was thinking about this idea of seeing. I thought of a wonderful story about Buckminster Fuller. You may have heard it before, and today I can't remember where I read it. I think it might have been Wayne Mueller, but it might have been someone else too. But what they told the story about Buckminster Fuller is that when he was 4 years old, he was in a nursery school. And they gave the kids a project to do. They asked them to take some little sticks of wood and build a structure that was stable out of sticks. Some kind of binding material, I'm not sure what it was. But Buckminster Fuller was functionally blind until he was 6 years old because he had a very severe problem with his eyes being crossed. And he didn't see clearly until he got glasses that allowed his vision to clear up some, although he was never visually very clear. When he was six, that happened. But this activity at school happened when he was four. And so he had never seen architecture in the way that other children had. And so when he took his little stick, he built what came to be called an octet arch. He didn't build a square structure because he didn't know that buildings were built as square structures. He really didn't have a sense of what a room looked like with sharp angles. Sharp angles weren't a part of his experience. He saw everything kind of blurry and round. And so he built an arch that was incredibly stable, that became, over time, one of the architectural foundations of the major buildings that are built today. Because that octet arch structure holds more weight. For example, you couldn't build a covered stadium without that particular structural form. And it was because Bucky couldn't see that he was able to come up with a new idea. He didn't have a preconceived notion of what this structure that he was building had to look like. He was willing to experiment and explore. So the changing of our perception is a very powerful part of creating something new, not just repeating what's happened before. I have experiences in meditation where I see things. And I'm a visual person, and so I see visions, you can call them that. Some people call them hallucinations. I like visions better, it sounds good. And I like talking to groups where I'm allowed to say that that's who I am without being committed. One of the visions that I had, I was exploring this idea of consciousness, and what I saw was a black velvet curtain. And for some reason, I was drawn to it, but I backed into it because it looked like a cape. And I kind of pulled this cape around me, and as I did, I thought of another meditation I had done where I had fallen into a well of peace, and I just felt this infinite peace that underlies all things, this incredible space of peace and tranquility. And so in thinking of that this other day, you know, I was up against this black velvet curtain, I thought, what would it be like to fall into this space? And so I fell. And as I fell, I rotated, and I thought, this is what it feels like to be a planet, rotating with no resistance, simply in motion, quiet, and easy, and peaceful. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, I wonder what it would be like to be on one plane instead of rotating. And suddenly I was on one plane. And then I thought, I wonder what it would be like to have somebody to stand on, and I was standing on something. And I began to realize that whatever I was thinking was happening, like that. And so I thought, what was light in this space? And this really pretty table lamp with a stained glass shade turned on. It was like a little invisible hand pulled a chain, and the light came up. So soft and pretty, and it was so nice. And then I thought something scary, and something scary appeared. I was reminded that the teachers that I've had over the years in shaman classes and things said, never go into the void. Suddenly realized that I'd kind of run into that space where things happen instantly. But I thought, oh, well, I'll bring love to this situation, and it will change, and the scary thing just won't give up. And then I thought, I wonder what God looks like in that place. And his eager voice, like an 8-year-old boy wanting to play, said, what do you want me to be? What do you want me to be? I'll be anything you want me to be. And that's the law is. The law is telling us that God is willing to be whatever we think about, whatever we focus on, will play with us in any way we choose. We have utter freedom to choose. And so every thought is a prayer in the sense that every thought is talking to God about what we want God to be in our lives. But prayer is when we get conscious. Spiritual mind treatment, specifically as prayer, takes us into a perception-changing region automatically, because step one is recognition that God is. And step two is, I am that. And that is absolutely, if you really feel and know what that means, that is absolutely a perception-changing region, because you have identified yourself as the infinite and eternal, as that part of spirit that you can comprehend so far. And prayer works at the level of our consciousness of it. As it said in the reading that Ed shared with you this morning, that as we pray, trained mind is more powerful than untrained mind. Trained mind allows us to do two things at once. It allows us to expand our spiritual territory, as Ernest Holmes was talking about, and it allows us to focus on an objective from that place of expanded spiritual territory. So we are taking both positions in the course of a single spiritual mind treatment. We are moving out to the broadest place in consciousness we can yet focus, and our description of what God is, and then we are saying, I am. And then we are specifically focusing on a field or a feeling or a form that we would like to see manifest in our lives. What a powerful, powerful process Holmes designed for us. We can use his wisdom as we build our own, every day we say a prayer where we build that consciousness of the Christ. God is, I am that. Every prayer, every day, over and over and over, we acknowledge who we truly are. And we change our perception of ourselves as that. That's the gift that Ernestine gave us. That's the impulse of core concepts 3 and 4. And so I would ask you today, if God asked you, what do you want me to be? What would your answer be? What do you want me to be? That's your opportunity. That's our opportunity now as we go into prayer. And I understand that the practitioners stand here. I'm grateful for the support of the practitioners and the consciousness of everyone in this room coming together in the awareness that it is all God. It is all God. We are one. In that place of power, in that place of light, finding that place of peace deeply within ourselves, we are blessed. We are blessed with the love and the grace and the peace of God. We are taken into that perception-changing region of the saints and the sages, of Uncle Ernie and all of our teachers. We bless each one. We know that we are truly blessed in our lives. And we find that space of appreciation for all that we are and all that we have. Knowing that as we appreciate what is, more comes. And that God's good pours out endlessly on everyone to the degree of our receptivity, and we become more receptive. I know that good is happening not only for each of us and in our spiritual community. I know good is happening throughout the world for all of those countries affected by the tsunamis. We see light. We see love. We see God on the ground in a million different ways. Through help pouring in. Through people awakening to the eternal, infinite nature of their own being. Knowing that as they have asked, God has given, and channels are opening, expected and unexpected, for good to pour in. When Mueller and Sabbath said, we don't do needs assessments, we do resource assessments. And so as we focus now on the expanding resources, we see that needs are met, and that people are uplifted and blessed and supported and supplied, and all good happens. Life is full and rich. And everyone is a part of that global heart, that love that we are, that love that God is. And it is expanding and being experienced more powerfully every day. For this I do give thanks. And I relax and trust as I release my word into the law. For it is good and it is done. And so it is.
And so it is, and so I let it be.
Thank you.
Thank you, Connie, for that magnificent story. We are so glad.